Now, Evangelist Winston Tye.
Thank you. This sermon deals with promises of God. The Apostle Peter declares that the promises given unto us are exceeding great and precious. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. It follows, therefore, that God has been good to us. We do have a basis for expectation. In contrast to our promises, the promises of God are great because they are markedly superior in character. The promises of God are not only great, but they are precious because of their great value. The Apostle Paul declared, "The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Now this is a promise that Christ shall return. The purpose of his return is stated in the Word of God. He is coming back to take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel. Therefore, we plead with men to obey the gospel. Scoffers walking after their own lusts implied disbelief by saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Now the objection of the scoffer that all things remain the same from the beginning of the creation is answered by the apostle. He proves that all things had not continued as they were from creation. He declared that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. The apostle proceeds to show why the Lord defers his coming to render judgment, namely, out of his long suffering. He said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. We are encouraged to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. We must abide by the faith that comes from hearing the word of God, and we must cling to the hope of salvation. Our God will surely keep his promises. The following observations are worthy of serious consideration. God has not promised to accept our excuses. How blessed are those who eat bread in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "A certain man made a great supper, and sent his servants at supper time, saying, Come, for all things are ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Luke the 14th chapter, verses 16 through 20. And the Lord said that none of those men which were bidden shall taste my supper. It is sad when men refuse the offer of eternal redemption, giving the most trivial excuses. The promise of everlasting life is obtained when we want it more than anything else. It is a blissful, joyful experience to eat bread in the kingdom of God. It is now supper time, and refusal to accept the invitation means that we offer excuses that God has not promised to accept. God has not promised to save men outside the church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew the 16th chapter and verse 18. Jesus actually purchased the church with his own blood. Acts the 20th chapter, verse 28. The purchase price points up the importance of the church. The Apostle Paul declared, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Therefore, the church is a necessity in the salvation of man. Jesus is the preserver of the body, the church. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Furthermore, Jesus is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. God has not promised to give another chance after death. The Apostle Paul confirms this assertion with the declaration that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. The apostle sent a letter to the church of God at Corinth. In this letter, we find the following affirmation. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. This is the definitive statement on the subject. Now is the day of salvation. Some of the promises of God are unconditional. They are without restriction, exception, or qualification. God said, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. Genesis chapter 9, verse 13. Then he said, the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. Genesis chapter 9, verse 15. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. The promise is unconditional. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. scoffers had said, "Where is the promise of his coming?" The catastrophe in question is certain. The promise of the day of the Lord is unconditional. The Lord does not procrastinate respecting his promises. He is not slack concerning his promise. He delays from long suffering that all may come to repentance. Some of God's promises are conditional. Conditional promises always state the conditions. The promise of the forgiveness of alien sins is conditional. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Mark the 16th chapter, verses 15 and 16. Baptism is a prerequisite to faith. Baptism is an act of faith. To be saved is to be made safe from past sins. Who can justify unbelief of the gospel? Jesus said, "He that believeth not shall be damned." The evidences of Christianity are such that all who hear the gospel can believe. Will you venture to the judgment in unbelief? God bless you, my friend.